The gospel reading is found in Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 5. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith to say the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord. In our gospel reading today, we hear the disciples asking Jesus for more faith. They say to the Lord, "Increase our faith." It's not surprising. By this time in Luke's gospel, the disciples have been tested and challenged time and time again as they have followed Jesus. The things he taught were hard to understand. "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." The things he was able to do, calming a storm while their boat was filling with water and they feared for their lives. Jesus said to them, "Where is your faith?" The miracles they saw Jesus perform, raising a 12-year-old back to life and healing a woman suffering from a hemorrhage, they could hardly believe their eyes. And then Jesus gave them power and authority to go out and proclaim the good news and cure diseases. How scary was that? What a test of faith. One day Jesus was teaching the crowds, and at the end of the day, the people were getting hungry. The disciples suggested to Jesus that he send the people away to get something to eat. But Jesus looked at his disciples and said to them, "You give them something to eat." All they had was 5 loaves and 2 fish. But for Jesus, that was enough. The disciples needed more faith. In the paragraph just before today's reading, Jesus lays 2 heavy demands on his followers. They are warned not to be a stumbling block to others, meaning that they should not cause others to fall away from following Jesus. And secondly, they are to correct anyone who goes wrong and to always be ready to forgive, even if they make the same mistake 7 times a day. Forgive them. Our tendency is to hold a grudge or to take revenge against such repeat offenders. But Jesus' way was to always forgive. And that's hard. So in today's text, it's almost as if the disciples blurt out something that has been building in them for some time. "Lord, increase our faith. It's been hard following you. You've taken us on this amazing journey, but sometimes it gets overwhelming. Increase our faith." I don't know if you've ever felt that way. Listening to the teachings of Jesus in the Bible, reading about his miracles, hearing all of the demands of the Christian life, reading the Bible in general and asking, How much of this is really true? I was talking with someone some time ago about the things that we read in the Bible and what the church teaches us. What about Jesus' resurrection? What proof do we have of that? And what about the promise of life after death for us? This person I was speaking with confessed believing only about 70%. And I said, well, on some days, that's about as much as I can believe too. Lord, increase my faith. Jesus responds to the disciples' request by saying, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Jesus likes to teach with a lot of metaphors. A mustard seed is very, very small. You don't need a lot of faith, he's saying. So, is Jesus telling his disciples that they already have enough faith? It wasn't more faith that they needed, just less excuses. With just a little faith, you're able to make a tree walk into the lake. I don't know why you'd want to tell a tree to do that, but in another place, Jesus says that just a little faith can move mountains. Jesus is making the point that it's not our faith that accomplishes great things. You just need a little faith. Faith simply opens the way for God to act in and through us. We just need to redirect the faith that we have toward God, who is able to accomplish things that go far beyond our abilities. I like the way that Frederick Buechner, a biblical scholar and teacher, has defined faith. He said, faith is not being sure where you're going, but going anyway. He probably had in mind Abraham and Sarah in the Old Testament. God had told them, go from your country and your kindred to a land that I will show you. Do you think they were really very sure about where they were going? Probably not. But they went anyway. Or think about Moses. God said to him, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of bondage. Moses really didn't know what he was getting into, and at first he had many excuses not to go, but he went anyway. Now, in the second part of our text, we have this parable about a master and a slave that seems at first totally unrelated to the subject of faith that comes just before it. It goes without saying that this is not one of my favorite parables. It uses an antiquated, oppressive master-slave relationship as an illustration, which today we find rather morally unjust. It portrays God as a rather mean, demanding taskmaster, ordering around his slaves, not as a loving father or a good shepherd, as we might prefer. And it portrays us as unworthy slaves, or even worse, as in our NRSV translation, as worthless slaves. It makes the Christian faith sound rather joyless and grim. Shouldn't there be some reward at the end of the day? Shouldn't there be some recognition of our good works, some appreciation? And what does this have to do really with increasing our faith? Well, maybe that's the point. What if having faith in Jesus isn't so much a matter of believing that something is true or accepting some beliefs taught by the church, What if faith is just dutifully doing what you understand your job is as a Christian? Jesus often described the Christian life as taking the role of a servant or even a slave. In fact, when it comes to serving God, which is what we are supposed to do, Jesus is telling us to forget the old idea of having stars in our crown or receiving some special reward in heaven for our good works. This parable tells us that we should not expect divine thanks for serving God. We can never put God in our debt. We are human beings. Now, I believe there is a place for thanks and appreciation on the human side. Doesn't it make you feel good when something you've done gets recognized in the church or in the family or in your community? When someone goes out of their way to say thank you. Let's say that you've been a Sunday school teacher for who knows how many years. Sometimes it may have seemed like a rather thankless job. But then later on, one of your students comes to you and said that you made a difference in their life. You helped them choose a good career or to make another good life choice. And you felt encouraged and your hard work was rewarded. It's hard to be faithful in our Christian duties without receiving some kind of expression of appreciation. And the church should probably do more of this, to recognize your volunteer service, the hours that you put in, your financial support and everything else that you give. And I know of people who have left the church because they felt they were not properly thanked or appreciated. This parable of Jesus, however, teaches us that we should direct what faith we have toward dutifully serving God, not for its rewards, but because we're serving God. I have a revised version of this parable, which I found in one of my sermon resources. Supposedly, this is a true story. It's about a man by the name of Jake who tells about the early days of his marriage. There was a kind of a friction between him and his wife, Melinda, because of his assumption that she would do all the housework, despite the fact that they both had full-time jobs outside the home. After several confrontations about this, Jake finally realized that he'd been unreasonable, and so he decided to help out. The first thing he tackled was the kitchen. He washed all the dishes in the sink and put them away. He wiped the countertops clean. He swept and mopped the floor. And then he eagerly waited for Melinda to come home from work, expecting that she would lavish him with praise. Well, when she came home, she noticed the clean kitchen, all right, but said nothing. Finally, Jake could stand it no longer and blurted out, "Didn't you see that I cleaned the kitchen?" "Yes," she said. He waited, but Melinda had nothing more to say. So finally he said, "Well, don't you appreciate what I did?" She said, "I'm glad you've done the work, but we both live in this house and keeping it clean is just part of our responsibilities. I've never been thanked for the housework I've done, and I don't expect to be. Why should either of us be thanked for just doing our job?" Well, it took some readjustment on the part of Jake, but he got the point, enough so that he kept doing a share of the housework. And though he never enjoyed that kind of work very much, he began to take a certain satisfaction in doing his duty without special thanks. Likewise, there can be a certain satisfaction in serving God even when no thanks seems to be directly forthcoming to us. The parable Jesus told invites us to see ourselves in relation to God as servants, even as slaves. Jesus said that he came also to take the servant role. He washed people's feet. He ate with sinners. Jesus listens to our prayers. He supplies our needs. Jesus gives and we receive. But the danger is that we come to expect this. Our prayers sometimes expose this when all we do is ask God for things. I think this is one of the misunderstandings that people have of the church. We come to church to have our needs met. The church exists to serve us. Well, in a sense, that's true. That's okay. We expect the church to help us through hard times. We come to church to receive comfort and hope and encouragement in our lives. We come for healing. We reach out to God to help us. The pastor and the other leaders in the church ought to be servants of the people. But if that's the only reason we're here, to have our needs met, we miss the point of faith directing us to serve. We are in the church to serve, not to be served. We should not always expect to be appreciated or praised. We're just servants doing our duty. I think that's all that the parable is trying to teach us. That's what it means to have faith, to be led into duty. There is an old sermon illustration about a man seeking entrance into heaven based on good works. He's looking to finally receive his reward. He arrives at the pearly gates and asks St. Peter for admission. On what basis? Peter asks. On the basis of my faithful service on earth, the man said. I worked hard. For years I worked in the world of financial management and helped people make a lot of money for their good. Yes, of course, St. Peter replied. We expected you to do your job well, and you did. The man went on, and earlier in my life, I worked several years at low wages on a mission field. I tackled the causes of poverty and injustice in the third world. I worked directly with families and children to make their lives better. St. Peter said, yes, we know all about that. It all needed to be done. But look here, the man said, I've worked hard to be faithful to God. Look at what I've done. I've never slacked off. And your point is? Peter asked. The man, now clearly upset, blurts out, that's all I've got. There's nothing more than the grace of God. Exactly, says St. Peter. Open the gate. Come on in. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.